morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. We certainly want to tell you that we appreciate you taking the time today to be with us. And now we'd like to ask Brother Larry Dishman to come and bring us another message from God's eternal word.
I ask you to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. My message deals with the subject, the tragedy of being technically correct and spiritually powerless. The definition for power is the ability or capacity to perform or act effectively. Certainly, that is a need for us as the people of God. The greatest need of the church in this generation is to have the Holy Spirit in her midst in a greater way. I believe there are thousands of honest Christians, earnest Christians, who are not living a life in the power of God to the glory of God, because there is so little devotion, so little consecration, and so little power. And I think about this, how much Christian work is being done in the spirit of the flesh, in the power of self. The devil is against us having power. He don't care that much if we come to church, but the devil does not want us to have power. A lot of folks today, they profess religion, but they've never had that joy, that peace to move over their soul that passeth understanding. A lot of folks today, they say they believe in consecration. They believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. But when it comes to producing the goods and living the life, they fall far short. Here we find in the Word of God, He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This power is not merely the power to do miracles. He's not talking about the power merely just to cast out devils, because Jesus had already sent them out to heal all manner of sickness and disease. He wasn't talking about the power to preach, the power to translate the scriptures, the power to enter in new territories. All this is good. But my friend, he's talking about that power, amen, that restricts the devil's power, pulls down strongholds, and obtains promises. My friend, this power was not in the form of physical energy or activity, but it involved a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Back of this, there had to be a deeper dedication, a consecration, a more consistent Christian life. You cannot have the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot have heaven's power and take a hold of the world's hand at the same time. Amen. This power does not come through machines. It does not come through education, but it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. If there is to be power in the pews, there must be power in the pulpits. Because praying pews and powerful pulpits are perfect partners. The world is not waiting for a new definition of the gospel, but for a new demonstration of the power of the gospel. The lost world is keenly sensitive to the powerlessness of many professing Christians. A Holy Spirit-filled church can demolish the power and the kingdom of Satan. It happened in the Bible, and God's power is the same today as it was yesterday. As a congregation or as individuals lose Holy Ghost power, we slide that much of direction towards the world. And so, dear ones, it is a need that we have this Holy Ghost power. So I want to talk about some things that can hinder us having power with God. All too many in the churches today are quenching the Spirit. And dear ones, by quenching the Spirit, we can partially or completely lose spiritual power. Powerlessness comes from a failure to seek the face of God. We profess we know God, we believe in Him, but do we seek Him daily? 2 Chronicles 7:14, what does He say? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and what's the next? Seek my face. Amen. That's one of the reasons we don't have more power. We don't seek more power. The reason for the powerlessness comes because of a broken contact with God. Did you know, though we're living in the last days, sin still breaks fellowship with God? That means when I sin, when I'm walking in darkness, I can have no power. In fact, inconsistent worldly living accounts for the powerlessness of many today. Power will not return until correction is made. The Spirit of God and the spirit of the world just does not mix. Amen. And so sin and disobedience is a reason for much powerlessness. It's very clear in the Word of God that Samson had no power till he was in right condition with God. When he was in right condition with God, he had power with God. But when Samson got out of the will of God, he no longer had power with God. If the Lord is gone from a man, he has no power left for a useful service to God. God has prescribed a way whereby we as His people can live a victorious life. Failure to take His way will bring us into defeat and powerlessness. Many professing Christians seem to be powerless to live a victorious life. Professing Christians are doing things that down deep in their heart they know it's not right. They know they need victory in areas of their life, and they continue have to come back time and time and time again and ask God to forgive them for a failure in their life, an area where they're coming short of the glory of God, and seemingly they cannot find the power to have the victory they need. So each Christian, including myself, were doomed for failure and frustration unless the Holy Spirit is allowed to come and perform His ministry in our lives. More power with God, more power with men should be the intense desire of every child of God. What God does in the earth today will be done through the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, we can have action, but not unction. And that's what God wants. What the church needs is not mere programs. The church needs power. Many today have all the paraphernalia of religion, but something's missing. The tragedy of us all is what I'm trying to talk to you about. We can be tactically correct, but spiritually powerless. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the church of God. Thank God we can study the Bible and we can understand the doctrines of the church. God wants us to be technically correct. He wants us to understand the doctrines of the church. But oh, to have all of that and to be spiritually powerlessness is a shame. Unless we have the power of God motivating us, inspiring us, impelling us, we're not going to get very far for God. Friend, every Christian, God has commanded you to fill the call and obtain the power that's lacking in your life. Every one of us has a job to do. And since we have a job, we must seek the power from God to do the job effectively. No work that is to be done can be done unless those who do it have the power to do it. The church must get that power. In all ages, the power to do God's work does not come from the energy of the flesh, but it comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. God wants each and every one of us to be a clear channel. While the Holy Spirit can control our life, then we will be witnesses. Like Acts, the first chapter, verse number 8 says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Oh, how Jesus realized that as he gave the command in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, and Luke 24, and the commission in all three of those passages of Scripture was to go and take the gospel to the then known world. But he said, wait, don't do it right now. Go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is one thing, but the Holy Spirit's power upon us for service is another thing. And oh, that our hearts would cry out for this power. What changes there would be in our lives if this power was flowing through us in a greater way. We need a living pulpit, a living pew, and a living altar. The resources of God are available. They're accessible so that you and I can do the work of God. The world is never going to believe in a religion where there's no power. From many earnest hearts, there's a craving down in your soul to obtain this longed-for power that the Bible talks about. Now, here's what you got to be. You got to be a student of the Bible. You can talk about power all you want to, but if you neglect the Word of God, if you neglect the Bible, if you neglect that instrument to which power is imparted, then you're not going to have power with God. Amen. Unless we keep in close contact and association with the Word of God, we're not going to have power. If you ever had power in your life, you'll not maintain that power unless you stay in the Word of God. A large percentage of Christians are merely playing when it comes to Bible study, and therefore, so many professing Christians are just weaklings when they could be giants if they'd get back into the Word of God. If we are going to obtain the fullness of power in the life and service, we must feed upon the Word of God. There is no other food so strengthening as the Word of God. And if we will not take the time to study the Word of God, we cannot have the power that we need in our lives. Just as it is, if you don't eat nutritious food, you can't have physical strength. And if you don't feed upon the pure, unadulterated Word of God, you can't have spiritual strength. If you get your heart filled with the Word of God, how is Satan going to get in? Amen. How is the world going to get in? If you get your heart filled with the Word of God, one of the reasons we should study the Bible is to uncover those promises in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's power can only be obtained by crucifying the flesh. No other way. There are a great many things that we can do, but there are some things we cannot do. If we're so full of ourselves that we can't think of anything or anybody besides me, my, and mine, not even God can do a thing with us. When we're empty of self, when we are sincere in our purposes, when we are looking out for God and for His kingdom and for His glory, then God can flood our souls with the power that we need. To have power, we must fully be surrendered. Amen. Belong to God wholly, unreservedly. That's what it means to be fully surrendered. We must put all that we have and all that we are in the hands of God for Him to use as He will and to send us where He will for God to do what He pleases, and we on our part do everything that God bids us to do. There are thousands of men and women in Christian work who are making great sacrifices, men and women who are living free from all known sin, yet they've stopped short of absolute surrender to God. Therefore, they've stopped short of the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. This half-hearted service is a sin that must be repented of, or it will cut us off from God. What is needed is utter surrender to God, completely relying upon Him. As the Scripture said, without me, you can do nothing. How we need to realize that every time we sing a song, every time we testify, every time we witness, every time we try to do something for God, how we need to realize, I haven't learned enough. I don't know enough. I need God in all that I do. We must say to God and mean it with our hearts, here I am. Here, Lord, is the ways of my life. Here are the keys to every room of my existence. Take them over, Lord Jesus. Work out your will in my life. Take me, Lord. Help me to be completely surrendered to Thee. But we are like Indian givers. We move to the altar sometimes under emotions, and we surrender things to God, and then later we take them back, those gifts we offered God, things that we laid on the altar. Friend, if you want the power of the Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit more of you. The question is, how can the Holy Spirit
use me. All too many are looking for the Holy Spirit's power and influence because they are like Simon. They want to use the power of the Holy Spirit to their glory and honor. While the blessed, all-powerful Holy Spirit is looking after and seeking for men and women and young people in order that he may get more of them. That's what God wants. God wants more of you. And oh, for more of his personal influence in and through me, till old self is lost entirely. And when somebody sees us, they'll be able to feel and sense the presence of God. That it might be like it was in the book of Acts. They took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. They wasn't the smartest people in the world. The Bible said they were unlearned and ignorant men. But one thing they was convinced of, those folks have been with Jesus. Just one lack of absolute surrender is the thing that hinders God from moving in our life. To give 99 parts and to withhold the 100th undoes the whole transaction. And this one thing they will not yield. This one thing they will not accept God's will and God's way. And let me tell you, that one thing, no matter how small you may think it is, that one thing will rob you of the peace. It'll compel you to be like the children of Israel. You'll continue to wander in the wilderness until you give up that one thing. What is that one thing that God's been urging you to lay aside? Amen. To put it on the altar, and as of yet, you failed to do so. Praying in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. The experiences of prayer and the renewing of the Holy Spirit are so interrelated that sometimes we're confused concerning the cause and the effect. The truth is that only praying hearts will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and it is equally true that only Spirit-filled hearts can prevail in prayer. Yes, it is the baptism of the fullness of the Holy Spirit that sets our hearts on fire to pray. Churches are not revived through just preaching. It takes prayer to revive a church. Are we interested in revival? Praying in the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, our Lord left his followers with the marvelous legacy of prayer. He spent more time introducing, amen, on the principles of prayer and the power of prayer than any other subject. Most of his teachings and his promises concerning the Holy Spirit took place within the context of his emphasis on the power of prayer. The day of Pentecost brought forth a new people. A people alive, transformed, filled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I say if we're going to have power, all sin must be confessed. All sin must be forsaken. There must be a searching of our hearts constantly. No unconfessed, unforgiven sin must be permitted in our souls. How we need to be as David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, see if there be any wicked way about me. Yesterday's power will not suffice for today. How is it in your life? Acts 2 and verse 39, it said, "For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that's afar off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call." The promise of power is just as definitely for us as it was for Paul, Peter, James, and John, and for the 120 in Jerusalem. The Spirit's life and power are available to all who will turn to Jesus and find Him as Savior and Lord of their life. I like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit." I ask you in closing, have you an ambition in your heart, a hunger in your soul to know more of the Holy Spirit, to have more power in prayer, more power to witness? We can be technically correct, but spiritually powerless. How is it in your life? Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for that soul-searching message that you've given us today. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. We invite you out to our services today. For transportation, you can call that same number, 740-345-1213. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:45. Each evening at 5 o'clock, our youth services begin. Then at 6 o'clock is our evening worship service. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at the same time. So until then, may God bless you is our prayer.